hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is Brian Brown, your co-host. We are in now check local listings, but Mike, today, a glorious day in downtown Nashville, Tennessee.
One of the most beautiful days we've had so far in 2018, and the weather's been strange.
In this part of the country, probably everywhere. I've lived in 10 different states, and they all have the same saying, if you don't like the weather, wait a minute. But that's been certainly true in Middle Tennessee these past few months. But inside of the majestic B.B. McKinney Studios, the weather's always perfect. It's always 72 degrees, there's no breeze, and it's always lovely inside the B.B. McKinney Studios. But Mike, we're not here today to talk about the weather, particularly since our audience is scattered all across the country, and as we know from people who've emailed us, even other countries. And so our weather is not applicable to them. But what is applicable to them, we hope, today, are lessons we've learned from pastors we've known.
And I've got to say, Brian, lessons we've learned from pastors we've known is what we're going to talk about today. And we think this is going to be the first one in a series.
Right.
Because we were talking as we were thinking about this particular podcast offline, and we've known some great pastors in our lives.
Absolutely.
That have influenced us and impacted us. And as we thought about those leaders, seems like we could come up with life principles from each one. And that's what the intention here is, is to we want to honor pastors. That's one thing we'd like to do with this. We thank God for these men in our lives. And then we want to call out some of the great wisdom that's been passed on. And let's face it, Brian, we're on the latter years of our run here.
Well, more you than me, but yes.
Exactly. So it's probably time for us to start passing through some of these things that we've learned, and maybe that's what this series is going to be all about.
Well, it's so true, and we have the privilege not only learning from pastors, Mike, that you and I have served directly as worship pastor underneath their leadership, or youth pastor, whatever it might have been, but also other pastors we've had relationship with, and then working at a place like Lifeway, we've worked for a lot of pastors as well that have served us not just as business leaders, but pastorally, I would say, over the years. So today I know you have a particular life lesson in mind, one that you would call one of the most important lessons you've ever learned from one of your pastors.
This one's near the top of the list, and of things that I learned. I was at a church, and I'm going to call this pastor's name and just want to honor him. I served the great church in the Jackson, Mississippi area, Broadmoor Baptist Church, and my pastor there was Dr. Jim Futrell.
Yes.
And there are a lot of folks that know Dr. Futrell. He is still the executive director of the Mississippi Baptist Convention in Mississippi. And he's one of the most amazing people I've ever known and one of the great communicators. I've never really met anybody else quite like Jim Futrell who could take a Bible passage and preach a profound message of application from memory, never stutter, never miss a beat, and then 30 minutes later preach an entirely different passage and an entirely different outline. I've never seen anybody quite like him. He's an amazing man, and a man that's full of wisdom. And this principle that we're going to call out today was one he shared with me in a very poignant moment. So maybe I need to give a little bit of the backstory of how this moment came to be, and then I want to talk about some of the things that he shared with me this particular day. I was sitting in his office, and what we were dealing with, I know there will be people out there that can relate to this. We were dealing with some criticism that had risen up in the church. I know this is going to shock you, Brian, but there were actually some people that were criticizing something that I was doing.
I can't relate at all, Mike.
You can't relate to that. And I know you're probably stunned. You probably would not think that anyone would ever be critical of anything.
There had to be some sin in their life.
There must have been some sin in their life. There was a piece of criticism that had come up, and word had gotten back to me about something that somebody had said, and I was upset. And I was in the pastor's office, and that was the backdrop for the conversation where he laid some wisdom on me that I have tried to employ in my life ever since.
All right. I think we've all been there at one time or another. So, Mike, in this situation, what was it that Pastor Futrell said that you've carried with you all these years?
Well, three principles.
Okay.
So I guess if we were going to call this something, it would be How do you respond to criticism? Mm-hmm. How do you handle the gossip vine that mm-hmm. happens? I think all of our listeners would readily observe that anytime you've got people, you've got misunderstanding, you've got right. miscommunication. There just seems to be a penchant among humanity, and I think it goes back to the insecurities that basically every one of us have, where we're constantly posturing, we're constantly positioning ourselves and defending ourselves, even when we don't intend to. We just do it naturally, and so people are going to say stuff, and they're going to be in the right place and the right group of people at the right moment, and they're going to say some things. And so here was the first thing that Dr. Futrell shared with me that day. He said, number one, that you make the assumption that there is something about this situation that you don't know.
Right.
That this person said what they said for a reason that you're unaware of.
That's good.
That you really don't know everything that this person is dealing with or that they're trying to express. And you, as the leader, can make the choice to assume there's something they don't know. And you can actually get to the place where you could say, if they knew what I knew, they wouldn't feel that way. So that first principle is assume this person is not fully informed, or they would not have the attitude that they have and would not have said what they said if they knew what you knew.
Yeah,
Brian, I'm curious. You've been around church life all your life. You grew up in a pastor's home. You've been here at Lifeway a long time. Have you ever seen a situation where you could observe easily, boy, there's something that person doesn't know about this?
Oh, sure. And I think all of us have been in those types of circumstances where something seems confusing, very, very difficult to understand. And when they find the background information out, it's like someone turning a light on in a room, and you realize that the reason your shin hurts is because you just kicked it into a coffee table that you didn't realize was there. So
exactly.
We've all been embarrassed by statements that we've made. We haven't known the full picture. I'll tell you one illustration, particularly embarrassing, but it involves my little brother, not me. So it's not going to be that embarrassing. Mike, this wasn't in a church situation, but I think there's application here. My brother and a group of friends of his were playing golf, and there was a group in front of them that was very, very slow, playing very, very slowly. And they began to observe that in that group there was a younger teenage boy, maybe early teenager, 12, 13, didn't have a set of clubs, and he kept running out to hit golf shots, and that was delaying the game. And they were getting very frustrated on a hot day, and they asked the marshal at the golf course, please go over there and tell them to hurry it up. And you know, a kid's not supposed to be playing if he doesn't have clubs. That's a rule of the club. And if you don't have your own bag and your own clubs, you're not supposed to be playing. And they were very upset. And so the marshal took his card up there and spoke to the group in front of them. And he came back and he said to my little brother and their foursome, said, well, that young boy is actually here from the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and his wish was to be able to play a round of golf. And immediately, my brother and his friend said, you know what, tell them to take as long as they want. We'll play this hole again. We're in no hurry. But that's an example of the kind of thing.
Example.
There can be something you have no idea is going on.
Right.
And the person who made the comment, Mike, in that situation, I'm sure what your pastor was thinking was, Mike, You may have no idea why they made that comment.
Exactly.
And whatever they're upset with, they may have no idea why you as the leader were doing the things that you were doing. So it can happen on both sides, but it can be really, really embarrassing when you find out what you didn't know.
Yeah, well, we've actually kind of hit the first two principles at once, and I may have already said it backwards. But the principle, first one is, they assume something they don't know.
Right.
Assume they didn't know. Like, let's say you were in that group with the young man that was experiencing the Make-A-Wish experience, and that group behind you is hollering at you and fussing at you, you could feel confident, hey, they don't know.
Right.
They don't know. And you could just actually cut them a little slack, because you can assume, boy, if they knew, If they knew what we were doing here, they wouldn't feel this way. And as a leader, I want to challenge everybody out there. I want you to think right now of a situation in your church that you're feeling a little bit threatened by, you're a little bit offended by, maybe some criticism, maybe something. And there's a person out there that the relationship maybe just a little bit strained, and they've been critical of you. I'm telling you, Dr. Futrell taught me this. You can consciously make the decision to assume they don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be offended, and you don't have to be defensive, and you don't have to withdraw and become petty and try to find retribution. You can actually give them the benefit of the doubt and assume they don't know.
That's good.
But the second principle is very close to it. Assume there's something you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I love your analogy, because which foursome are you in?
Right.
Are you in the foursome with the young man? Are you in the foursome that's following him? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're in the foursome that's following. And if there's something that has gotten back to you, some piece of advice or criticism or some thing that's out there in the communication realm of a church body, and it feels squirrely to you, it feels like it's not quite right, it's something you could get mad about, you can actually make the choice to assume, I may not know everything there is to know about that, or I wouldn't be offended by it. And I've got an example of that I want to share.
Sure.
I had a man, and I've given this illustration so many times in places I've spoken. There may be somebody listening that's heard me tell this story. But, oh, what a poignant moment in my life when this happened to me. I had a man in one church I served. He was a senior adult. He was the crankiest old guy that, whatever you think of when you think of a cranky old man in a church, that's what this guy was. And he used to drive me crazy. He was loud, obnoxious. He was very vocal. He was the guy that would put his fingers in his ears during the music. I'll tell you who reminded me of him. Those two old puppets that are in the Muppet Show up in the balcony.
Sure.
He was one of those guys. Yeah. And one of the worst memories I have of this guy, I had a guest singer in my church one time. It was Luke Garrett, my old friend Luke. And Luke was coming to do a concert, and you can imagine how much I wanted him to have a good experience in my church. And during the sound check, this guy that drove me crazy comes into the room and screams at Luke, "That's too loud. Don't sing like that." I mean, just started screaming at him.
Which Luke had probably heard before. Well, just kidding. We love you.
Yeah, I loved Luke. I miss that guy so much. But you can imagine how mad that made.
Yeah, sure.
So this was a guy that I would actually avoid. I would try not to see him. You know, if I saw him on one end of the hall, I'd duck into a Sunday school room, you know, to avoid running into this guy. He criticized everything I did, was always vocal, was always loud, always in a bad mood. Well, one day in the church office, a young lady was in the office that I knew pretty well, just knew her first name. She wasn't in the choir or anything, but I knew her. She was a big supporter of mine. She always complimented the music. She was very sweet and, you know, somebody that I wasn't trying to avoid.
Right.
She said, "Hey, I've got you here and we've got a little time. I want to apologize to you for my dad." And I didn't know who her dad was. She said, "You know, my dad," and she called his name, and it was that old guy that I couldn't stand. And she said, He embarrasses us, and we see the things he says and the way he acts, and we know that you get a lot of that from him. And I just want you to know our family doesn't feel that way, that we love you, love your ministry. And I just wish you could have known my dad before his stroke." And I went, "Really? He had a stroke?" "Yes, it was about 6 years ago, but my dad had a stroke. He had a stroke in the part of the brain where your personality center is. And ever since his stroke," I'm telling you, I'm about to cry telling the story again. She said, "Ever since his stroke, his entire personality changed. And we don't really know why, but something about music has been triggered. And he's not the man that raised me, and he's not the man that was my dad and my children's grandfather. He's become a different person, and we're asking God for grace to know how to deal with him. If you didn't know him before that, you might have the idea that this is the way he always has been. Yeah. But I want to tell you, my dad wasn't this person, and I'm just so sorry that you have to deal with that. And I want to tell you, she told me something I didn't know about his criticism. And I want you to know the whole dynamic of how I related to that man changed that day. But it wasn't because he changed at all. Right. It was because I had a piece of information I didn't have before.
Absolutely.
And now his criticisms didn't feel so hard. And now his emotions and his actions didn't offend me. As a matter of fact, I tried to build a little bit of a friendship with him by going over and talking to him. And I asked him one time, after this understanding that I now had about his situation, I asked him, I said, "What's your favorite hymn?" And he said, "It is well with my soul," which I thought was ironic. and I said, "You know what? Next time we sing that, I want you to know I'm going to be singing that for you."
That's good.
And it was just a few weeks later, I had it in one of the services, and I noticed him while we were doing the song. My entire disposition toward him changed because I just had a little piece of information.
Yeah.
And that's the principle here. When that word of stinging criticism comes, when that rebuke comes, when that person that drops out of choir, you see, Brian, here's something I had to learn the hard way about myself. I took everything personally. I mean, somebody drop out of choir or miss the musical or, you know, stop coming on whatever, and I'd say, well, they must be mad or they must not like me or they don't like the music we're doing. I would take everything that way. I'd find out later that mom had just been diagnosed with a brain tumor and they've been traveling to Houston every weekend, you know, had nothing to do with me at all. There was a piece of information I didn't have. And in this case with this elderly gentleman, there was an essential piece of information I didn't have. And I want to tell you, when Dr. Future pointed that principle out to me that day, I've tried to employ it ever since, that if that piece of criticism I got or that action that I see that person take or the person that has dropped out, whatever, I can always assume that there's something I don't know.
Yeah.
And keep loving and keep serving and keep caring about them with that assumption.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, when I have employed that, it has saved me a ton of grief.
And Mike, I think it's important to point out, you may never know.
You may never know.
We've both given a couple of illustrations where we found out the missing information.
Yeah.
But you may not ever know. And people are under no obligation to share it.
Yeah.
Sometimes what they're going through may be something too personal or something they don't want to share.
Exactly.
And so you may never know. And so I think it's important to like you said, assume there's something you don't know, but not you may never find out. You may have to just move on with that assumption and never find out what the real reason was.
So the first one is assume there's something they don't know. The second one is assume there's something you don't know.
Right.
And I'll give you a further example of this with the new modern era of connectivity in social media platforms. and all of that. I mean,
texting.
how many tweets have gone out that had incomplete information?
Right.
Until
144 characters used to be the limit. Yeah.
Exactly. When it used to just be 140. Now it's more than that. But there's no way you can put the complete information out there. And then and think about this, too. And this is the other thing the social media platforms remind me of. There are people that I think back to churches I served years ago, and if you came to me and started naming this person, that person, show me then their picture in a pictorial directory, I would probably, and this shows my immaturity in those years, I would probably say, well, that family didn't really like us very well, or that person didn't really appreciate what we were doing or whatever.
Yeah.
Some of those people I felt that way about while I was there are the people that write to me on Facebook now and say, "Happy birthday. We miss you so much. You meant so much. You'll never know how much God used you in our family." And at the time, I thought they couldn't stand me or they didn't like my leadership or their. And that just shows you how ill-informed and how wrong we can be when we make assumptions that we know it all when, in fact, we don't know it all. Another example comes to mind. I had a guy that worked with me in one church. He was one of my tech people. He was serving in a soundboard running, operating kind of a thing. And he just began to get out of sorts. I could tell he was snippy. He was abrasive. He was showing up late every once in a while. It just seemed like he was out of sorts. But instead of me having the maturity to care about him as a person, I became a little bit frustrated with him and just wish he'd do something else. And finally, he just came to my office one day and said, "I'm resigning as a sound guy and I'm out of here." And you know, and I I acted spiritual, but in my heart I was saying, good, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. And 3 months later, I found out that he and his wife were going through a divorce and that she had had a relationship that was inappropriate. That's what he was walking through.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was sitting there going, why is he late? And why is he short? And why is he? That was a very, very vital thing I didn't know. And then later, I was embarrassed when I found out, man, that guy was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I was mad because my microphone wasn't on.
Yeah.
And again, your point is really well made. We're not usually going to know.
Right.
So why not just give people the benefit of the doubt? So
that's good. So we've got those two principles. There's something that you may not know. There's something that they may not know. And what's the third one, Mike?
Well, here's the third one. And this is the real simple one. And we've talked all around this. But remember, at the end of the day, they're just people.
Right.
They're just people. You know, as you know, I love baseball, played a lot of baseball back in the day, coached baseball forever.
Sure.
People are going to strike out.
Right.
They're going to make errors. Your all-star shortstop is going to throw it into the stands.
Sure.
You know, I love sports, love to watch sports. I've got favorite teams and favorite players, and I haven't met one yet that hadn't made a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and why in the world are we so hard? We would never want to be held to the standard that we typically hold other people
That's
to.
That's right.
We never would. We want the benefit of the doubt. We understand our context.
Right.
Why can't we, as mature believers, and certainly as people that lead ministry, why can't we just give people the benefit of the doubt and understand that their feet are made out of clay? And you know what? And let's throw this out there for all our guys. We're calling this valuable lessons we've learned from pastors that we've served. Why don't we just give our pastors a little bit of slack, too?
Yeah.
They're just people.
Right.
And they're going to say stupid things, and they're going to have wrong attitudes, and they're going to do the wrong thing plenty of times. I've thought about this a lot. There's nothing more creative about me than when I'm trying to justify something I've done.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more judgmental about me than when I'm trying to attack something somebody else has done.
Yeah.
If we treated other people with the respect that we show ourselves when we're justifying our actions, we'd probably avoid a lot of conflict.
Like, so many sayings come to mind that I try to remember all the time. One of the ones I've heard said is, we judge other people by their actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions.
Yeah.
As one way to say that. I've also myself remind myself frequently, if the only thing that anybody ever knew about me was the worst things I ever did, the meanest things I ever said, if that's the only thing you knew about me, I don't hold up too good either.
Well, honestly, there's another side. I agree with everything you just said.
And Mike, it takes me obviously back to the biblical principle. You know, that passage of scripture has probably been analyzed forever about judge not, do not judge.
Yeah, all that.
And the reality is, you can, I think people take that too far. You can judge another person's
actions.
You can
characterize, sure.
You can look and say, I saw whatever you saw. But what you can't judge is intent.
Yeah.
You don't know why they did what they did. You might know what they did.
Yeah.
And you can certainly restate what you saw. But even that, as we know, can fool you. But you can never, once you go past what someone's action was and you go to intent, you've really stepped into a place that only they and God really know.
Yeah.
Which is why they did what they did. And that's when, to me, you're violating that biblical principle of judgment.
I heard somebody say the other day that one of the definitions of forgiveness that you can apply, that, of course, a topic that big, there's no one sentence that could capture it all. But one of the definitions of forgiveness is not holding to account the consequence of what someone has done. In other words, allowing the consequence to go undelivered.
Yeah.
You could be mad. You could be offended. You could be insulted. There's a lot of ways you could react.
And those are all choices. Yeah, yeah.
You can actually choose. And this is the lesson Dr. Future was trying to teach me that day. You have the power, because of the Holy Spirit that lives within you, and because of His work in your life, you have the power to choose something better than retribution, something better than offense. You can choose grace. You can choose mercy. And I want to appeal to all of you out there that are leading ministry. you've got to develop some tools in your ministry along these lines, or you're going to be frustrated with people all the time, and you're going to be constantly irritated and offended and insulted by the actions and attitudes of the people you lead.
Yeah.
And it does not have to be that way. Can you imagine Jesus walking through this earth with those 12 knuckleheads,
right,
and all the other hundreds of people that followed him? Can you imagine if he would had allowed offense to take over his heart every time somebody offended him? And yet it was always love. It was always grace. It was always patience. And hopefully we can have some of that in our lives.
Amen. And there's something else that strikes me, Mike. I mean, since we're obviously not Jesus, another phrase that comes to my mind is the sting in criticism is the truth in it. And if these moments of criticism come because of our insecurities, our initial reaction is to lash out or be hurt. Sometimes we miss a lesson we could learn.
That's true.
Sometimes we miss an area where we could improve. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the person criticizing us might have a point. They might not have delivered it the right way. They might have delivered it in a harmful or hurtful way. But we can learn from our critics, I think. And I think we're often, because of our insecurities, far too quick to dismiss them. And far too – I remember a friend – who had just come to Christ at 19 years old when I knew him. His name was Bill Harshman, and he died tragically later that year, which is another story, but the Lord gloriously saved him before that. It's really a miracle. But I was talking to Bill at the time, and this was a long time ago. He was talking about how he wanted to get rid of all of his secular albums and his secular music, that now that he was a Christian, he wanted to listen to Christian music. So he was putting all of that up for sale. And being a precocious preacher's kid teenager that I was, not shy to get back then, Mike. I just gave my opinion.
Oh, I can't imagine. No, I cannot.
I've grown and matured since then. But I told Bill, I said, "Well, you're selling it. That means somebody else is going to be listening to that music, and that's awful and terrible, you know." And I remember Bill looked at me and just, this is how Christ changed his life. He said, "You know what? That's a really good point. Maybe I'm wrong in that. Maybe I shouldn't sell it." And in that moment, I thought, boy, I wish I could react that way when somebody told me that they thought what I was doing was the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Because I would be quick to be defensive. I would be quick to lash out. But that brand new baby Christian, in that very instant, his attitude as he had just encountered Christ was, man, if I didn't know about this, what else don't I know? And when someone came to him and suggested something might be wrong, his reaction was, maybe it is. Yeah. You might be right. And
you know what?
Boy, what a great way to
Since you brought that up, Brian, I've got a couple of things I'd like to cover.
I'm sure you do.
Let's wrap this up in a little bit of application. If you're listening to this podcast today, I want you to identify that person right now that maybe the relationship feels a little strained. Maybe it's just the beginning stages of some distance you're sensing, whatever. I want you in this moment to make these choices. Just right now, just say, you know what? There's something they don't know. Or there's something that I don't know. Or even if we both know it all, we're just people, and we can still love, we can forgive. I tell you what, 1 Corinthians 13 is in the Bible, and love is patient, and love is kind, and love is not jealous, and I mean, on and on and on.
Keeps no record of wrongs.
I mean, let it go. Yeah. Just let it go. Do a lot of praying. But you don't have to be offended. You don't have to be insulted. And Lord have mercy, you don't have to get on Facebook and do a rant. You don't. You can choose a better way. And if you're a ministry leader, I just beg you, learn this lesson that Dr. Future tried to pour into me a lot of years ago.
That's great. So the first in what I think, Mike, is naturally going to become a series as long as you and I have served different kinds of pastors, life lessons we've learned from our pastors and pastors that we've known, and what a great one to remember that there's things we don't know, there's things they don't know, and that we're all just human after all. We'd love to hear from you. Email us, worship@lifeway.com. Love to hear how you've handled criticism, maybe some of your stories that you could share on the blog at worshiplife.com and interact and continue the conversation there. We'd love for you to email us topics that you'd like to hear us discuss. And a lot of times, those are the topics that we choose to include in our podcast. So please keep emailing those. And especially when we see topics repeated from many of you, we know that that's something that a lot of people are interested in discussing. And we want to keep that conversation going. And as always, you guys have been doing so great on this one. Continue to send us those specific prayer requests for you, your family, your your church. We love praying for you specifically. We pray for you generally, all worship leaders and all of you involved in ministry, all Christ followers and brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lifeway worship team is praying for you. But when you let us know something specific that we can lift up to God, we just always love being a part of the family with you on that level. So please keep doing that and reviewing and rating the podcast so others can join the discussion. Until next time, for Mike Harlan, this is Brian Brown saying thanks for joining us on the Worship Life podcast. We look forward to getting back together to talk about worship with you again really soon.